There it is.
Five,
four, three,
two,
and one. It's a good evening, folks.
Welcome to the late night show.
Now, what up, everyone? It's your boy, Addy Nett, and you're chiming in to MLO. And it's been a minute. I'm here with my boy, Casey Carpenter. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, it's been a minute, you know. We didn't fall off the cliffs or anything, guys. We were just busy hustling it up.
It's been a while. We haven't posted an episode or content, and I have to apologize to everyone. We've just been really busy, and we're going to talk about this today. We got a full menu, if you will, of items. We're going to tell you where we've been,
a la carte,
what we've been doing, and why we've been away from the camera, because we've actually been doing a lot of stuff lately.
100%.
So I've been on a ton of trips. You've been traveling. I've been traveling. Where were you most recently, Casey?
Yeah, so I just got back from Scottsdale, Arizona. It was nice, man. Had to get out of the rain a little bit, get some sunshine, that vitamin D. We don't get a lot of that up here in the Pacific Northwest, so it's healthy for us to get some sunshine every now and then.
Well, when we were talking, you're saying that, like, you can get a lot more house down there, you're thinking, right?
I'm
whispering.
But you know where you are, like, you vacation, you start to look around.
Yeah, you're pulling up Redfin.
Yeah, you kind of look around, and I'm telling you, like, off just base numbers, it seems to me like you're getting an extra 250K, 500 down there in Arizona in certain areas.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their pros and cons coming with it. There's some heat down there, let's be honest. Like, you're not moving down there for cold weather.
I've heard people, though, they're like, oh, well, I couldn't even stand 120-degree weather or whatnot. And we have some friends who live down there year-round. And they say, well, it's like, I just stay inside, just like you do when it rains in Portland or Seattle. I was like, well, touche,
right?
I mean, at least I'd be inside and warm rather than inside and cold.
Right, totally. I mean, you know, everything's coming with, you know, good AC systems down there. And usually there's a pool or something, right? So, yeah, I think the pros and cons. Because what are we, you know, when it rains, guys, we're just sitting in cleaning your house.
Yeah. I'm not cleaning my house. I'm watching Netflix.
Yeah, and watching Netflix.
But no, it's good to know, like, that market. I watched something on the news about they're building over 1 million new homes in the next 10 to 12 years. New construction. Like,
yeah,
it is expanding.
It's wild, you know, and you have the, like, Phoenix, Scottsdale area. I mean, it's all so, like, close down there, too. I mean, you're within a couple hours, you're within several different areas. ASU, Arizona University.
Arizona State is unreal.
Yeah.
My friend that I played junior golf with was one of the coaches there, and he gave us a tour of their practice facility.
Oh,
it's
insane.
If you're a golf fan, like, John Rahm went there.
Oh, no way.
Phil Mickelson went there.
No way.
Yeah, that's like a premier golf program.
Dude.
Yeah, it is insane. I got the tour of that facility. It's absolutely nuts.
Well, on that too, you know what's crazy? Is most golf scholarships go unused. Did you know that?
What is your source?
We were talking about it down there because there's so many golf courses down there. And there's so many golf scholarships that go unused every year.
Wow.
Now, these might not be full rides, but still, you know, $5,000 here, $10,000 there. Like,
right. Subway vouchers.
Subway vouchers to get you in, you know.
The footlong scholarship.
Yeah, you think about it, though. I mean, I'm sure that's the same, like, when you're, you know, swimming, stuff like that, like, different of those sports. Like, people forget about that. And, like, you go to Arizona, and, like, that's primo weather for golf.
What I love about college sports now is that kids can get sponsors.
Yes.
And they can pay for their school that way. Like, the Masters a couple weeks ago, that kid Bennett, who went to Texas A&M, I think I just saw an article, he signed a deal with T-Mobile.
Yep. Well, see, he's the amateur, right?
Yeah. But you saw
him
at the Masters. It used to be they wear, like, nothing, no logos, like, white hat and a little Masters polo. Dude, he was decked out like some random bank and, like,
totally,
some vitamin company and, like,
had
Johnny O'Polo and Ping here, all this
stuff.
Yeah,
I was
like, get
for
your
him.
Money,
what,
dude.
What a good story. But that's how that came up, because I was talking to people about, like, with my daughters playing softball and stuff. There's a girl out of LeGrand and a girl out of Bend that just signed for big money to go play for UCLA and USC in softball. We're talking millies, big money. And one of them, I think, is still a junior.
Wow.
So you're getting an agent now in high school to represent you to get going. It's fascinating.
I think it's fantastic because a lot of these families and parents, I'm going to spin this off to real estate,
have
dedicated so much time, money, and energy to provide for their kids to be athletes and be competitive and travel. And the fees are infinite, right? But this allows them, like, imagine, now we can have a down payment on a home and the family can move to that college and be kind of near 100%. That.
It's allowing you to buy a second home, you know, be all close to your stuff. Kid.
Yeah. And their efforts on social media, too. They actually get rewarded for that, and they can. It's not penalizing.
Yep. And like we've always said, guys, family gifts solve all problems.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we're actually both licensed in Arizona and have a lot of contacts down there, and we both travel there for leisure. So if you need someone to do a loan for you in Arizona, you got to hit one of us up. You just got to do it.
Absolutely.
But so you're down in Arizona. I made another trip out to Idaho. The Boise area, which I had never been to before, but I'm doing loans out there, and I'm associated with a lot of great relocation teams in the Idaho market. It was super fun to see that.
So beautiful out
there. We go warm desert to cold desert there. No, they obviously have warm summers, but it was like 14 degrees when I was out there filming for the YouTube channel. We were like warming up in the car. That's how I was like, this is what we're going to talk about. And then we jump out. Talk and then run back in.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I experienced 14 degree weather. And it actually wasn't that bad because it was a dry cold. Okay. Versus what we have in Portland, 31 felt just as cold as 14 because it's kind of that moist cold. It's like
freezing
wet
air.
With like wind.
It's brutal.
It's way colder. But that's a great market out there, man. It's really popping. We're seeing a lot of people move actually out of Oregon into Idaho, particularly your more conservative minded folks.
Yep.
Very America out there. I love it. They're very home ownership. It's a big kind of difference actually from the people that I help in my hometown of Portland, because it's kind of this like hipster thing, which I can go with. I mean, I got a man bun and I'm from here. I can talk that
way.
We can
make it work, but there is a big difference.
It's a huge difference. I mean, you're going from like kind of like,
well, the American dream. Like
it still exists. That's still a mindset in that state. Absolutely. 100%. I've been told, like, this is what you do. You buy a home. That's next.
We're not here to rent. We're here to buy. Like, they have a way different mindset. Same with my clients for Florida as well. Like, Florida is another one of those states.
That's another one.
You know, Addy and myself, we care about our clients so much that, when we have clients, we're not just licensed up here in Oregon, only, right? Sure. Our clients go to Washington. Our clients leave. They go to different states, Arizona, Idaho, California. Yeah. So if you guys are ever questioning, a move or relocation, you got to hit us up.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and you took your kids to Disneyland.
Well, we went down to California and ventured out down there a little
bit. Didn't you say you walked like how many steps?
Gosh, guys. So we did we did like 5 days in Palm Springs and then went up, did the whole caravan up to Disneyland. And I was not prepared for the walking, I actually got like a smart watch ahead of time. I'm like, we're going to track it up and do all this stuff. And we ended up walking on average, or at least I did, on average over 25,000 steps a day.
That's a lot.
And when you're moving and grooving, you're fine. Right. The body's staying warm and you're up, the next morning. I came back home. And then after 2 days of being back home and kind of my whole body just got wrecked. I was knotted up, like a crippled old man coming out of bed. I had to do stretches, had to recover from Disney. But, down there we were talking about it, kind of same thing. I mean, just even around Disney, the way the market is, I mean, it's like a – selling a house next to Disneyland is like a primo.
At Redfin?
I'm always, looking at stuff.
What were those going for? Like, how much would a house next to Disneyland run?
Some of these things were like, 1.2 for, we're talking not a whole lot,
It's like it's a 1-1 into the
1-1 condo.
Your view is
for,
like, what, the Matterhorn or something?
And that's a selling feature,
feature. That's photo number two.
It's photo number two on the listing. But in all reality, where you buy and things you buy next to, are big benefits. Like here, we have Nike and Intel and stuff like that. That really does help drive those values for sure.
That's a good spinoff. Like, a lot of the conversations we're having and, rewinding back to the early pandemic, mid 2021, early 2022, the market was super hot. You saw rates under 3%. Money was really gettable.
Yes.
And the buying power was massively high. And we've seen this massive shift, right? But even when it was really high, I was, or the buying power was really high, I'd tell my clients, remember when you're buying a home that it's going to sell the way you buy it.
Mm.
So there's a lot of deal grabbers out there. It's like, I want a deal. I want this. Yep, so in that super hot market, they might have looked at a home. Oh, this thing sat for a week, which was like 8 weeks in today's market, right?
Yeah.
And they were the only offer for some reason, right? I'm noticing now that those people trying to exit out of those properties are having those exact same struggles where it's like, oh man, if you were the only offer in a hot market, you can't have the expectation that it's going to sell quick and over ask in a
that's a great conversation with clients, for sure. And that, yeah, absolutely.
That's the number one thing. I was like, especially with first time home buyers, I try to just always tell people that it's like so easy to kind of adjust your priorities on a home and be like, oh, I want this because it's got, you know, whatever, a better color, better kitchen, totally. But it's on a crappy street. Right. Just remember that crappy street doesn't change. Like, So when you want to sell it, it's still on a, I don't care if you painted the whole thing, you put all these upgrades, it's still on a bad street.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to remember in this market, which I think is a buyer's market, your priority should be location. It sounds so cliche, but pick the corner lot on a good neighborhood.
Yep.
Don't get the monster mansion on a through street that you're hearing, you know,
totally.
The freeway noise 24/7.
Yeah. Because
that noise ain't going away.
No, back up to busy roads is a big thing, dude. I always hear that, especially, you know, new construction a lot where we do a lot of business too. It's like, you know, that's a big thing. You know?
It's a pro tip.
It's a pro tip. And, you know, great segue with that is I was having a conversation with a client. And remember, guys, too, like, if you have a property and you start adding on additional outbuildings and features and stuff, you start to make that property more unique than it was. Mm. So I had a client that's, you know, discussing adding in shops and pole barns and all types of stuff on this property, you know, and we were kind of discussing the different ways do you do that. It's those rehab loans, is that construction loans, is that kind of a side, you know, construction line that he just needs to get. But I reminded him, you know, the more unique you make that property, the harder it is to find comparables and sell it against it, you know, like growing up, you know, on the east side, like a lot of people love to buy, you know, those farmhouses out there. And a lot of the times, you know, it's kind of a small ranch or maybe a manufactured home on a nice piece of property that's got a beautiful horse arena on it. It's got beautiful stables. It's got all this stuff. And, you know, it comes down to it, like, is that value really in the land and the outbuildings rather than the home?
Yeah.
And it can become an issue, you know. Luckily, you're seeing a lot more stuff built these days. You're finding more comparables and stuff. But just you got to keep that in mind, you know.
Dude, you totally do. That's a good call. I mean, I don't want to go down the spiral of manufactured homes. But
no.
Yeah, remembering, I think that these are just a lot of the discussions we're having with people with interest rates being so high.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really compressing the buying power. I had a conversation with a guy, super nice guy. I won't say his name for privacy reasons, but relocating up here from San Francisco.
Let's call him Dan.
Sure, Dan. I talked to Dan like 4.5 years ago when we first started our Living in Portland YouTube. And he was like our first call we ever got off that channel.
Yeah.
And we're still talking to him today. Finally, he's making the move. And we were just because
4 years, you said?
Yeah, 4 years.
Wow. Love that.
So he calls me. He's like, Addy, I finally gone through the thing. We listed our home. I got a job at Portland General Electric, blah, blah, blah. Probably shouldn't have given that away. But he's like, okay, well, what do you think I could get approved for? And, you know, I have my quick sheets, like, how much you making? What's your debt? It's like, looks like we're going to be right in the range of about 550 to 600, depending on where rates go. If they go down, you're on the high end of that. If they go up, you're on the low end of that.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, wow, okay, well. And I told him what the payment was. I was like, is that something you're comfortable with? He's like, yeah, that's probably at my max. And then he just asked me, well, when we first started chatting, you know, man, I remember rates got in the 2%. So I was like, yeah, well, what could I have been approved for then? And I quickly did the math. It was like 800. So you're seeing like almost $250,000 decrease in buying power.
Yeah.
But then more impactfully, that same monthly payment, like would have been less at, or the same at $800,000 home.
Totally.
So you went from like, holy crap, I could buy top end to now I'm at mid range.
Yeah.
So it's really impacted a lot of people. But the whole mindset too is like, I prefer this market personally because I always want to buy in a buyer's market. I want to sell in a seller's market.
That's right.
The mistake people make is they usually buy, and the only way to buy is they have to sell right away. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things we do with like renting out the home for a couple years after and using some of that rental income to supplement your employment income so you can afford to go buy it. And really, that's the proper strategy. Not everyone has the life circumstances to be able to do that. But once again, we're back to cliche stuff. Location, location, buy in a buyer's market, sell in a seller's market. And those people that are buying right now, you can refinance the loan. There's been a lot of like, I've like heard a lot of people debate that being absolute bullshit where it's like, don't fall for the refinancing or this or that.
Yeah.
I'm very pro it. I'm very pro. Your primary mortgage, the interest is a income tax reduction. You write off up to, I believe it's $10,000 of your primary interest paid every year that reduces your taxable income. Not yes, a tax accountant, but you can look it up on IRS.com. Not CPAs. I do my own TurboTax. I've done it for 9 years. They just thanked me for my ninth year of
I like how they remember it from the previous year.
Yeah, there's all that stuff there. But I don't know where it was going with that.
I mean, you're right, because I think with those higher prices, with the higher rates, people are just being more selective. If they're going to do it, they want to do it like they want it to kind of be this forever first time. And I try to let these clients know, and we have the conversation of, guys, to hit that perfect property, your forever home, the one you'll never move out of, right out of the gate, house number one.
Yeah.
I mean, the statistics are just low on that. Like, you know, you might out, you maybe you haven't started a family yet. Like, so many things change. So I have these clients like having to kind of reset that mindset, because if the house, let's just say your ideal house is, you know, that 600 or 700 range now, but you're really only, you know, approved for that 500. Like, be realistic about it, because it's still a good, you know, you're still buying in a buyer's market. Go ahead and get that 500, because you can then sell later on in the seller's market and then chase that higher long-term perfect ideal house that you're going for. But we got to reel in the expectations of buyers these days with the market, because they're looking at stuff that, you know, sometimes just isn't feasible right now with the way things are. So
yeah, it's true. I mean, a lot of other conversations too I'm having with people is the discussion of how much down payment to put on a home. Yeah. So you get a lot of people, it's like age old, regardless of interest rate market, you hear a lot of people is like, I want to do 20% down to avoid the private mortgage insurance, which is, you know, a premium you pay if you have less than 20% down to cover the note for the banker side. It does nothing for you or for me, unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
That being said, there is something to think about in regards to, well, how much would that mortgage insurance premium be? And it depends on what loan program you're on. If you're on a government program, like VA doesn't even have mortgage insurance. FHA's flat rate, conventional, it's heavy credit driven. Mm-hmm. And is it one or two people on the application? But there's, I would say 9 out of 10 people start off with that, I want to put $100,000 down or 20% down.
Got to avoid the MI.
But things, what Casey and I do is we'll build out. Well, what does it look like at 5%? So if you're a second time home buyer, you only need to bring 5% minimum to the table. First time home buyers are eligible for 3% on a conventional loan. But analyzing, well, would I rather have $75,000 in my savings and put 5% down and take a $200 more a payment a month? And people are like, oh man, that payment. And then I open it up a little bit further. It's like, well, take that $75,000 and put it in interest yielding savings account, which right now locally it's like 4 to 5%. It's massively high for
That's awesome.
It's like CD, better than CDs right now. So you could always have access to that savings. And I saw them like, say, hey, say you have a rough month that like something comes up like a car repair or a medical thing where you're shelling out more from the checking account. Draw from that savings and bridge that gap on the higher payment. Do what you can, but that's really how you have the best of both worlds. Then when you refinance, you're hoping that the appraised value goes up on your home, and you might even be in a position to be closer to canceling that MI. Because once you pay off to that 20% of the purchase price on the note, you're eligible to cancel it on a conventional loan.
Yeah, it's a great.
A lot of breaking it down. And I tell people two cases, like sometimes the house constitutes the down payment.
Yes.
Because what if it's like move-in ready, you you and the wife or the partner is like, we love it all, nothing to change. Well, maybe you'd put a little bit more, maybe 10 or 15.
Right.
But say you find a total, like, I love this house. It's the best thing we found, but I can't live with that kitchen. And it doesn't come with appliances. You might need an extra $15,000, $18,000, $20,000 to do the facelift, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, long rant there. No, but that's a hot common it's a conversation. Great,
I'm having the same conversation with clients because at the end of the day, guys, we're still in a higher cost economic time.
Yeah.
Period. Inflation's still up. Some of the highest times we've seen. Things cost more. I went to the grocery store the other day. It used to cost you $250. Now it's $500. You know, it's just like
all the little stuff is more.
Keeping liquid assets is so important these days, you know, and especially like people get lost in that. Okay, I'm not, if I don't put the $75,000 extra down, you know, then my payment's up $200. But guys, you know, $200 for 12 months is only $2,400. You got $75,000 sitting there.
Right. And you bought the house for $100,000 less than what you did in the hot market when everything was a bidding war.
100%. Yeah. It's kind of win-win. So
some people argue an opposite. Like, I've had people nose to nose with me that want to argue the opposite, where like they would rather buy in a lower interest rate market and they don't care what the price of the home is because they plan to save it for 10 years. Well, okay. Like, yeah, if you can commit to keeping that asset for 10 years, but most people move every 4 to 6.
Yeah.
And especially if you have kids, things are changing all the time. I know you know that.
100%. And I mean, the going kind of, numbers we saw for a long time was like a mortgage only lasted like 4 to 8 years, right, depending, market shifts, the biggest thing, right? Every 4 years we have kind of a presidential change or election time, right? Market shifts, policies changing. You grow a family, you downsize, you get old. I mean, there's so many factors that go into it. Like that person keeping that home for, the mortgage for 30 years and the home for 30 years, like, gosh, I'd like to show me the person. Because grandma, for me, died a long time ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like having that reality and the proper expectation, I think, really will help you make that right decision and buy the right home. Mm-hmm. And getting the right advice from the right mortgage advisor is so key, because you have so many people. Let's be honest. It's been tough, right? There's a lot of people in our industry, mortgage and real estate, that have they're on, the last straw that they got, so some mindsets are just sell, sell, sell. And you got to still do your financial fiduciary duty for a client and get them into the right house at the right, price and stuff. So.
Yeah, totally. You got to be careful. You don't want to work with somebody that's desperate for money. Like,
no.
And you sense it. Like, I don't really want to go down that rabbit trail. But another one thing I do want to bring up to you is I think one of the most valuable unspoken currencies in real estate, and this goes for people buying or selling, is patience and flexibility.
Yeah.
Because often when you're negotiating, a lot of money is on the table with real estate. It's usually the biggest asset any person has most of the time. So someone that gets antsy, impatient, and is not flexible on move in or move out dates usually gives up tens of thousands of dollars. My example is like, say you're selling and you get impatient. I don't want to be in this neighborhood. I want to move to Miami, Florida and be on a boat somewhere, right? And I'm done with this in Oregon. And they're going to be desperate, essentially, and give up on any offer and take the low ball just to be done with it. Now, if you would have been patient and flexible and be like, okay, this might take, 20, 40, 60 days to sell. We'll see. I'm just going to hold firm. Those people likely make the most amount of money selling because they're patient. On the buy side, if you're on the other side of it, if you're stuck to like, oh, I actually have to close on this because I don't want to move here or be in a transitional area, you're trying to force it. And that's when you and I see this all the time. People just like buying homes that might be in desperate need of repair because they got the deal on it and they can move in 21 days and I got to get this done.
Yep.
And they'll even skip like a final inspection and just be like, screw it, let's just get in the home. Those types of things really hurt people, not only in compromising on what they want from a home, but then like, oh, now I've inherited this money pit. Like, I didn't check the HVAC. I really didn't push back on that cracked window or the drain spout or like the moisture we found in the crawl space. Like,
totally.
You got to be patient, really think through it. And now that is why if you're willing to buy in this high higher interest rate market, you're allotted that time. Like, you can think about if putting in an offer through the weekend or even up to a week sometimes. Then you have long inspection periods. Yeah. You have all the power to push. I saw an addendum through inspection on the buy side, my clients, that literally barely fit on the one-page PDF. Yeah. It was a rap sheet.
Yeah.
And the conversation with the sellers, it was super simple. It's like, well, do you want to deal with it with us or with someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And go back on market, which is the worst thing. So buyers really can push back and continue negotiating from start to finish right now, which we hadn't seen in years.
No. And it's kind of like every year it's kind of, we see something new in real estate, different times, right? Like, there was a time back in the day where it's like you had to write 45-day contract because appraisers, we were short on appraisers. You couldn't get appraisal turned around. Now you can take a long inspection period, which honestly, this is a time in the market where I think you're seeing houses actually show inspection issues where you think that they wouldn't, and really, what that brings is the importance, I think, of doing your home inspection. I'm seeing a lot of clients still do it, but some clients waive those.
Yeah.
And you just never know what you're going to uncover, because that house could be a perfect house. It could have a really beautiful setup. Yeah. It could have been, totally remodeled. But at the end of the day, people forget that we're living in these things. Like, you're living, you're moving, the chair hits the wall. Like, you are using your house kind of like a car, right? You're going to tell me your car just looks the same after 10 years of owning it?
Right.
Let's be honest.
Well, and even too, to add to your point, like, don't skip on the inspection, even though it's a new build. And a lot of people think, oh, I don't need an inspection, it's brand new. It's actually like often those inspections on the new construction homes have just as many things. Like, one example is the sewer line. So the sewer line connects the primary home sewage system out to the street line all underground. So usually when they build a home, they pour the foundation, they start structuring the home, and everything's gravel around it. There's no landscape, driveway, or sidewalks, right? But that sewer line has been installed. So guess what's been driving over that sewer line? Trucks and deliveries and dump trucks and this and that. So often you'll see that sewer line got cracked. And folks, that's like a $7,000 to $12,000 repair, depending on the complexity of the project. So you want to do these things. You want that to be checked out.
And you have a lot of people going inside that new construction house. You got framers. You got people doing carpet, flooring, tiles, glass, all these people.
Right.
And guys, think about it too. Like, let's be honest, nobody's watching every single contractor. You don't think they're, a nail or, dude, extra totally. Piece of sod's getting kicked over into that drain. Nobody sees that, like, you have to do these inspections. I've had plenty of clients, brand new home. They've been living in it, and all of a sudden, there's a leak happening.
Yeah. Where'd that come from?
Oh, guess what? The plumber just forgot to completely seal off that one pipe, and now you got it dripping down the wall.
It kind of reminds me of like new construction homes, because you get like a whole new construction, you get like a whole block of homes, right? And they're built in sequence of order. They're not all built at the same time. So it's like when my wife does Christmas cookies every year, and like I get to decorate some of them. My first cookie's always super real good. It's like, oh, that's a dialed in Santa. Then you go to you get to cookie number 20. You can't even, it's like a Picasso, right? Like, what is that? I see red and white. But it's almost like that in new construction homes. Like, our home that we bought was the first of two, and we had zero issues with it. Our neighbor, it was like the minor league baseball team came in and cleaned up the last, it was a mess, dude, and they still have issues with it. So you have to be mindful on new builds. Like, I guess we should say, don't buy the one at the end of the block. Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, might blow it over. It is important. And that's, honestly, that goes for, kind of whoever you're building. That can be, the lower tier builder to the top tier builder. It's just, there's so many people hands-on building these homes, and we're human, and errors happen because we're human, so just get them checked.
Well, and also to a little bit more of a serious note from Christmas cookies analogy.
Yeah,
but you have to be, to me, you need to be very critical of homes built in 2020, 2021, and 2022. Why? Pandemic. Building materials went through the roof. Lumber was so expensive. Labor was really expensive. And all that created was kind of construction companies trying to create the same thing for the same profit. Mm. They did not compromise on profit, even though materials went up. So what happened? Usually the quality of the work went down in that whole equation.
Yeah.
So you have to be great super point. Mindful of the company you choose to buy from builder wise. If you're buying something after the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, personal choice. I've always been a huge fan of your local builders and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, you know, your smaller local builder.
They really seem to try to, you know, care for that client a little bit more. It's not a mass construction scale. They're trying to build a nice quality product because really it's small business mindset. It's their reputation. They don't want to, you know, have the class action lawsuit coming down with four different states and all that stuff. We know who those guys are.
When you got to talk to like agents and lenders like us that are actually doing transactions in these areas, because you can't just Google your way through a good builder or not. Like there's some big national builders that you could be like, oh my gosh, those reviews look great. But those reviews might be from Washington, D.C. And then it's a totally different team and management in California. Different 100%. Materials. It's the same logo, but it's totally different. So you have to talk to local people doing transactions in these areas and know what they're going. And not just the agents, like lenders like us. Like
yep.
I know a lot of the builders in Idaho right now. I'm doing a lot of new construction out there. And I'll tell you the better ones and the worst ones.
100%. Got to have boots on the ground.
Yeah. That was a roundabout way. Like, I wanted to throw a particular company under the bus, but I can't. Because they have a bad reputation here, but they have an awesome reputation on the East Coast.
100%.
And it's just different people.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely. So, definitely get advice from your local lenders.
I didn't know we were going to talk about new construction for that long.
We kind of flipped in it. It's a deal
right now, though. Once again, buyer's market, these builders are in a pinch.
Yes.
They've bought things. They committed to building their home. They're not going to stop building and let the plywood sit there in the rain. Like, they're going to get it done. Yep. So as a buyer, they know that. They're willing to give you closing costs. They're willing to be flexible on the closing date. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, man. I've seen some crazy ass shit lately that people have requested. Like, oh, I want this fence. The fence goes up, I don't like it, or I'm walking. Like, people are doing that, and the builders are on their knees, like praying to baby Jesus, give us another chance. Like, that is like
totally
that's where it's at. So, like, I think that's why I'm just explaining why I ranted on new builds.
Well, I think for us too, like, it kind of gives us a good segue, like, because me and Addy, you know, we're getting super excited because honestly, in the last, I'd say, you know, this month of April has really been kind of a market shift for us. We're seeing a lot more activity. Me and him are finally kind of used to that same volume activity levels we were seeing a couple of years ago. We're hoping that it's not temporary. So the question is, are we in our spring season buying?
Right. Yeah, I mean, normally most markets kind of depends where you are nationally, but yeah, you're going to look late spring, summer is really the optimal time for people and families to move. No school.
Yep.
They got summer vacay days. Yep. There's no holidays.
Spring break's over.
It's not crappy weather. Like, that's just optimal time. Preferred might be the best word to use it. So, yeah, we're feeling that uptick. I mean, spring break's done. We go through this, Casey and I, every year. It's like, okay, school started in September. You see a little slowdown. Then it comes up, and they're like, oh, it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. A little slowdown. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, Super Bowl is over. Okay, we're back to it. And it's spring break. And then now we're over spring break and Easter. So, yeah, we're kind of settling in. There's not any real major holidays leading up to, like, July, right? Fourth of July.
Yeah, and I think you kind of just see that activity. I mean, definitely we're getting more applications in. We got more people going into contract. A lot of that stuff is, like, our efforts that we've been putting in for months, you know, helping these clients, keep them pre-approved, keeping them engaged. And now you're seeing, you know, those right properties pop up.
I think, too, to, like, point to why maybe you and I have upticked on the a little bit is, like, finally we're in the temperature of the environment is a neutral mindset. And I'm making this up for the first time.
No, that's makes sense.
Neutral mindset, meaning the sellers have accepted that it's a buyer's market now. It's not we're over the age of like, well, Bob sold it for $200,000 over, I'm going to sell. Because there was a period of time that we had delusional sellers.
Yeah, that's like, a great way to put it.
That were just late to the party. Like the keg was tapped. You saw nothing but empty beer cans on the ground. And they're like,
they got the cup over.
They're trying to put, they got the empty solo cup and trying to play music. Yeah. Like, at least they're neutral minded. The buyers have now accepted the rate thing. It's no shocker. There was a period of time where, like, people were late to the party on the buy side and they're like, wait, Really? 5, 6, 7%? Yeah, and they were sleeping under a rock. Finally, everyone's on neutral, where it's like, hey, we're all in this under the same mission, moving for one reason or another. And I like to say it's either work, you get transferred for work,
yep,
or you're going to a new place, babies, you're having a kid, you got to be in a school district, need more stuff. And thirdly, it's a sad one, divorce. Yeah. Those are the top three, split ups and breakups of family. Those are market movers.
I think, I mean, a big part, a lot of people have kids in the spring too. I don't know. I mean,
I'm sure
springtime brings babies, you know?
Right.
So that's, yeah, you nailed that. And honestly, for us, you guys, I mean, we love it, right? We love being busy. We love having anxiety because we're trying to get things done. Like, that's normal for me and Addie. It's normal for us to be doing 5, 6, 7, 10 transactions a month, you know, instead of one or two. So we're keeping that positivity going. If you guys are looking to buy, you know who to reach out to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What else did we have on there?
I mean, really, you know, I just wanted to bring up a couple things that kind of fall back to like what we already talked about. But really, you got somebody out there shopping for a home. You know, the biggest thing you can do is find, you know, a local advisor like me and Addie that's going to set you up properly, have that education piece with you, because I've seen a lot of clients come to me where it's like, hey, we just found the first property. We got to get pre-approved now. I'm sorry, guys. Like, we're going to try our best to get that. But that property, if that's as nice or as perfect or whatever it is as you think, people are already putting offers in on that right now. As you're making your call to try to get pre-approved, offers are already going on it. So do your due diligence. Come to us first. Figure out that financing piece. Have the education out there. So you're shopping knowing what your payment is already, what your max budget is, what your low-end budget, and you're fully educated. So that part's out of the way, and the right part is being done if you're just searching, finding the right home that fits your buyer's needs, because this scramble at the last minute isn't working out for a lot of clients.
I love that you brought that up. It's a tale as old as time. They pull up their little Redfin Zillow app. They call the agent on there. They go see it, and they get convinced to write an offer. Then they're getting pushed to do a pre-approval. It goes back to the patience and flexibility. But one thing I did miss was being prepared. I always tell people, hey, if there's any sort of thought that you might be looking at a home in the next 90 days, at least get pre-qualified. If you really are going to pull the trigger, get pre-approved and have a relationship with a live person like us. Now, not 1-800 number, not a bank that's open from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday. Like, you need a live person like us. Have that file sorted so that you can have us run the numbers. So it goes from like, oh, I got to get pre-approved, to like, hey, Addie, hey, Case, run these numbers for us. Because why? The market is extremely volatile. We're seeing 0.25% to 0.5% interest rate movements in 5 to 10 day periods, which really impacts, can you even afford the home? You need to understand all this stuff. Also, sellers are open to paying closing costs, but you got to know what the closing costs are. They're different for every house. Property taxes, time of year you're closing, the interest rate buy down, all the prepaid property taxes, the county you're in, all this different stuff. We calculate all this stuff so your agent knows what number to negotiate with the sellers. This is a complicated market right now. There's so many different layers to it. So if you are within 2 to 3 months of shopping, start the process. Even if you're like, I always say, have the conversation with me. I can tell you on the phone, like, oh, hey, this is probably what you're pre-approved for. The pre-approval process is just verifying this conversation. And then everyone pushes back on credit. It's like, well, you're going to have to pull the credit. You're going to have to. Otherwise, it's all just a triple asterisk, and we don't know for sure. And once again, it's going back. If you want to negotiate and get the best deal, get closing costs covered, have your lender go to bat for you, you got to pull the credit and just have it done.
You got to have that credit pulled. It's so funny. Right. I literally was just, you know, having a conversation with a client last night, and the biggest concern, you know, was, you know, oh my gosh, if we pull our credit, it's going to go down, or yada yada. And the way that is, guys, if you have a bunch of people out there pulling your credit in the past history, because we can see everything that's been touched the last 6 months, you know, you got the auto loan, the Best Buy card being pulled, all these different touches. Yeah, you might be at a risk for having your credit go down. But has that been a concern for you for the last 6 months? I don't think so. You've had everyone else pull your credit, right?
Right.
In most cases, we never see that happen. A client's a typical consumer where they have their credit pulled once every so often when they're seeking financing. You're not penalized for that. But the funny part was, I had the husband, I pulled credit, and he goes, oh man, my credit score just dropped, because he's watching it on his Experian app, right? Oh, just dropped 40 points. I look at the credit report. He doesn't even have credit scores. And so the conversation is, bud, you got to get credit scores. So what you're seeing is just a credit score based off of collection debts or something that's not reporting.
Right.
So the typical consumer, I don't think you guys are fully understanding on that credit part how important it is. You do want to have that pulled. You want to get your solid pre-approval. You want to know where you're at.
Yeah, and that's under the context of 2 to 3 months out from doing something. Now, if you are more than that, you gotta baby your credit. Like, you either know you have credit or not. Be honest with yourself. Yes. Like, there's no point in lying. Everyone, like, the bank finds out eventually. But
we see everything.
What you need to do, and it's super important right now because of inflation, right? So one of the big reasons why we haven't seen rates gone down is because we have a spending problem in America, corporately and as citizens. And a lot of that's because of credit cards. We have way too much access to swiping. Like, you could have a $10,000 credit balance and a $150 minimum payment.
Mm-hmm.
God, which grandson's going to pay that off for you at minimum payments? Like, you're never going to tackle that debt.
Yep.
But that's why we just keep spending, and we're not seeing it's taking so long for inflation to come down because we're all playing with Monopoly money.
Yep.
So when it comes to buying a home, don't take out any new credit cards. It's different if you need to build up credit. This is to sustaining. Take out no new credit cards and work on your credit utilization ratio, which is the amount that you owe balance at end of month relative to your limit. So if you have a $10,000 limit and you have a $5,000 balance, that's 50% credit utilization ratio.
Yeah.
Ideally, I like to have my ratios in the single digits, under 10%. That is a part of the scoring model. The lower the ratio,
yep,
the more points you get every month. But as inflation goes up, people are swiping. So their ratios are going up. Watch over the next 6 to 18 months, the national credit average completely tank.
Yeah.
I mean, national credit average during the pandemic was upticking so fast. Why? Because everyone was sitting at home. Like, all you could do is order things on Amazon. And it wasn't 2-day prime, it was 2-week prime.
Yeah.
You
know? Totally. Like,
people couldn't spend.
100%.
Just be mindful of the credit, because that's the biggest player right now. And everyone wants to shop their rate and figure the market moves too fast to shop. You can't get an apples to apples right now. Trust in a good person. And the higher the credit score that you have, the lower amount you will pay for the interest rate that you select. That you just got to understand that.
Nailed it.
Sorry.
No, absolutely.
I'm just ripping. Now my heartbeat's gone.
Now we're fired up.
I just had a natural Red Bull off.
But you guys know, if you're out there shopping in the market, for sure, you know who to call. Hit up Addy. Hit up Casey. We're here to give you guys that proper education advice, lead you down the right path. And so you are set up for success. And remember, probably temporary these days, too, with that mortgage. We'll probably be changing it down the road. So don't get all bent up on it.
Yeah. Focus on the long term.
Focus on the long term. Put your family in a good house. Create some net worth. You know, do something with your life.
On that note, we'll catch you later.
Check you later.
Check you later.